Let's pray. Father, we just invite you to be in our service today. And Lord, just pray that you would speak to each of our hearts. Lord, may we receive from you. Lord, may we hear from you. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege of being in your house this morning. And we say all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just real quickly, I know Bob had mentioned about me being a Baltimore Orioles fan, and I must say the Detroit Tigers, though, had the worst record in baseball this year, not the Baltimore Orioles, just make that clear, even though it wasn't looking good at the beginning. And actually, I grew up in Pennsylvania, Franklin County, a town called Greencastle, just if you go down 81, almost down to the Maryland border. So my middle name is Brooks, after Brooks Robinson from the Orioles. So I was kind of born into an Orioles fan club already to begin with. So that's kind of how my journey started there with that. So I like the Ravens, even though most of the people in my church likes the Eagles. So I mean, you guys are Pittsburgh fans. I'm not sure, you're kind of somewhere in the middle. So we have a few of those too. I don't understand those Pittsburgh Steelers fans, but since they're in the same division as the Ravens, but I wanted to start this morning talking a little bit, just mentioned about my family. You see pictured up here, my wife Julie, she's with me here today. And then we have five kids, as was mentioned earlier. Our son is the oldest, he's 21, Josiah, and Hannah is on the far right in the back there. She's 19, she's a sophomore in college at Millersville University. And then Grace, one with the hat on there, she is a senior this year at Hempfield High School, close to where we live. And then our twin daughters, Noelle's on the left, and Riley's on your right there. And they're sophomores at Hempfield. And just a joy to see them grow up and become the people that God's designed them to be. Question I wanted to ask, and this kind of relates to family dynamics, is does this ever happen in your home? Someone starts talking to you from another room. And with our family, and again, in our family of seven, this happens a lot more than it should. You hear someone's voice, you can almost make out what they're saying, and since you're at home, you sometimes have no idea, though, what they're trying to say. So there may be a fan's running, or some water, or who knows, the TV's on, radio. So you get a little closer to the voice and try to figure out, you know, what's going on. What did they say? And even if they try to repeat it, you might still not fully make out what they said. So it can be very frustrating. And it's not fun having an ongoing conversation like this if you can make mostly what they are saying, but really not have a clue. Eventually, you want to get in the same room so that you can actually talk to each other, and you maybe even read each other's lips and that face-to-face kind of interaction, and really be able to listen to one another. Our story this morning starts with a voice from another room. A young boy named Samuel hears someone calling his name while he is sleeping late at night. He thinks it's the voice of Eli, the priest at the tabernacle, who had been raising him as his own son. And you'll see a picture here of, if you recall, the story of Samuel's birth. Samuel was an answer to prayer of a woman named Hannah, who was unable to have her own children, and so she prayed to the Lord for a child. The name Samuel means because I asked the Lord for him. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we read how the Lord blesses Hannah and gives her a child. Later, we discover that Hannah has more children after the birth of Samuel. She goes on to have three sons and two daughters. Hannah made a promise to the Lord that Samuel, after she had weaned him as a baby, would live with an older gentleman named Eli, the priest, and for the rest of his life to do the work of the Lord. It is clear that Hannah loves Samuel and never forgets about him, even though he was under someone else's care. When it was time for sacrifice each year, she would bring Samuel a gift that she made herself. A growing boy needs new clothes, right? So Hannah would bring Samuel a new robe each time she came to visit. Now Samuel's story has to do with a conversation with God. When did you have your first real conversation with God? Can you think about that moment? A conversation when you recall talking to God and hearing from him in some way for the first time. Samuel was just a boy when this happened to him, and since he is referred to as a child, we know that he was under the age of 13. And at age 13, no one is no longer considered a boy, and they become accountable for their actions. So Samuel is likely as old as 12, or perhaps a few years younger. According to first century Jewish historian Josephus, Samuel was probably about 11 years old when we interact this story. And I'm going to invite you, if you have your Bibles, I'll have some scripture up on the screen, but I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we're going to begin to see this conversation with God starts when the Lord calls Samuel's name in the middle of the night. And this story, again, is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we don't know the exact time, but we know the lamp or the candlesticks in the tabernacle were lit every evening and would burn until morning. And what we know is the lamp had not gone out yet, so it wasn't quite morning. So again, sometime in the middle of the night. The priest Eli was sleeping in his usual place in another room. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. This statement signifies the presence of the Lord being there with them. It was not to mean that Samuel was sleeping right next to the ark of the covenant. In fact, that would be forbidden. But Samuel heard his name being called from another room. He got up from his room and went to Eli while he was sleeping and responded, "Here I am." Notice how Samuel went when he was called. Wouldn't it be great if our children did it all the time? He responded when he heard someone calling his name. We can see Samuel's willingness and his obedient heart in response to Eli. Twice this happened, and Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." Basically, go back to sleep, will you? In other words, it wasn't me. The Lord called Samuel's name a third time. And this time, Eli, as he was once again rubbing his eyes, just imagine, thinking, what time is it? I wish he had his Rolodex or Timex watch. But something must have happened this third time that must have woke him up just a little more. It was not yet sunrise, but it dawned on him that the Lord was calling out to Samuel. I believe at one time, Eli too heard the Lord's voice. And it was clear to Eli that this was the Lord speaking to Samuel. So he said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So the Lord calls out a fourth time to Samuel. So let's listen closely to this conversation. And we're going to be picking up in verse 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 3. It says, "The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.' And the Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. And at that time, I'll carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore," verse 14, "I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." And Samuel answered once again, "Here I am." Verse 17, it says, "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." Verse 19, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed to himself to Samuel through his word. As we fast forward a bit here, Samuel becomes the leader of Israel. Before there was ever a king, he was the leader here of Israel. He leads Israel for nearly 50 years. And he later appoints the first two kings of Israel, both Saul and David. The Lord continues to speak to Samuel. His conversations with God go on for the rest of his life. But what do we see in this moment with Samuel as a child? As we look at the story in 1 Samuel chapter 3, what can we take away from this conversation? Well, first of all, hearing from God requires childlike faith. Jesus tells us we must change and become like a child for us to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus promoted a humble, honest faith in God. And he used the innocence of a child as an example. We often need to humble ourselves to hear from God. We must be born again. One of the times we do this together as a church at New Joy, where I pastor, is during revival services. We bring in a guest speaker and host the revival services for the past 4 years and have another one planned for next month. Matter of fact, your pastor, Chad, was our first revival speaker at New Joy, again, 4 years ago. He really got us off to a good start. He has the heart of an evangelist. You've been blessed with Pastor Chad here at New Hope. During these times, as well as others, we need to humble ourselves, pray, seek the Lord, and turn from our sin. We will have a hard time hearing from God if we don't do these things. There was a young boy during one of our revival services. He was about 10 years old at the time from our congregation, and he came forward at one point to receive prayer, and I came up and prayed with him, and I asked him what he heard from the Lord. And he's the youngest of three boys, and he said he wanted to be a better brother. Here he was, 10 years old. I think his brothers were 12 and 14 at the time. And I believe the Lord will help him to do exactly that. The Lord spoke, and he listened. In this story, as I mentioned earlier, we find Samuel went to Eli when he was called. He demonstrated a willingness and obedience even in the middle of the night. I mean, how many of us want to get up in the middle of the night? Oh, what is it this time? Young parents understand, right? This makes me think of an interaction or conversation that happened in the middle of the night, and Scripture records for us. It was the night when Nicodemus had a conversation with Jesus, with God, and Jesus tells Nicodemus he must be born again. Not that he should become a child again, but that he must be born of the Spirit. Our minds, our hearts, our attitudes need to be renewed and transformed. A change often needs to take place so we can have a childlike and honest faith in God. Our Heavenly Father wants to speak into our lives, but the question we need to ask ourselves is, do we let him? Like Eli, he might not be our earthly father, but he wants to be, but he only wants what is best for us. When we hear the promptings of the Lord, what do we do with them? How do we respond? Do we have the faith to believe, even if what we see or logically think doesn't add up? Will we take the steps of faith needed, even if they take us into the unknown? Will we follow Jesus and place our trust in him because he's called us? Leaving behind what we know and what we're familiar with, may the Lord give us a childlike faith so we can hear the voice of God. Secondly, hearing from God involves active listening. Not just giving lip service, saying we're listening, or simply nodding our heads and say, I hear you. This might be common sense, but this could be the hardest thing for us to do. True listening, and those of us who are married, we understand this, it's not always easy to do. It can be very difficult at times. It can take a lot of effort, and it can be exhausting. Perhaps you'd rather still be sleeping and not really have to listen. Perhaps you're out there thinking this morning, oh, is he still talking? When will this message be over? Maybe you've heard God's voice but didn't bother to get up and say, here I am. You'd rather keep doing things your own way. But true listening requires us to do things God's way. That's what God asks of us. We're not always going to hear something that will bring a tingle to everyone's ears, but it should to our own and to our hearts as well. God was at work when he called Samuel. Samuel was listening and passed on what he had heard. And this conversation with God was not directly with the priest Eli, as you might have expected. However, the priest Eli wanted to know everything the Lord had to say. Eli wanted to hear the voice of the Lord for himself and discern what the Lord was going to say was not farewell for him. And as anticipated, the news was not good for him nor his sons. Yet Eli, even in this story, still surrendered himself to the Lord's will, whatever it was. As anticipated, the news was not good for him or his sons, yet Eli still surrendered. There was this tingling in his ears. This was a sharp blow for him and his family. And through these words, he would have experienced a prickling or a stinging that might have brought tremors to his very soul. But notice that Eli didn't reject the message, but accepted what the Lord had to say to him through Samuel. You know, sometimes we can be pretty stubborn, can't we? At least I know I can. And we don't listen because we think we won't like what we're about to hear. But wouldn't we rather hear something from God than nothing at all? Let's not turn away from the promptings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's not be afraid to listen what the Lord has to say, whatever it is. Let's be open to him. In fact, this tingling to everyone's ears was not totally bad news. There was a sense of excitement about what God was doing, something new. God was going to bring a close to the injustice that had been going on for way too long. It was the end of the line for Eli and his family, but it was just the beginning for Samuel and for the people of Israel. This was foreshadowing of what was to come. Now, you may notice some parallels with Samuel's story and what happens later with Jesus. Like Mary, the mother of Jesus, Samuel's mother, Hannah's offered up a prayer and a song of praise after she knew she was with a child. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, she rejoices in God who delivers us and makes us alive and raises us up. What may the Lord be saying to us that would make our ears tingle with excitement? May we quiet our hearts and our minds and ask the Lord to help us to listen so that we can hear his voice. Thirdly, maybe most importantly, is hearing from God takes discernment. Did God really say that to me, or was that just something I wanted to hear, or just my own thoughts? We constantly have thoughts going through our minds. How do we know if what we're hearing is coming from God? The answer is that it takes discernment to know if what we are hearing is the voice of God. We sometimes need an Eli or a spiritual coach or pastor or friend in our lives to help us understand what we've heard. That's why we have the church. That's why we have one another. Eli helped Samuel to know that he was hearing the voice of the Lord. The Lord was clearly with Samuel as he grew up. And the Lord revealed himself to Samuel through his very words. As we read in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we read that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For us, even if we ever question what we hear is from God, we need to ask ourselves if what we heard is in line with God's word. May the Lord give us the discernment we need to clearly hear his voice. One of the things I was thinking about as far as discernment, I heard this quote. It says, "You will know God's voice because it will bring encouragement along with conviction." So oftentimes, when you're discerning whether you're hearing from God, there's going to be this, both this encouragement and this conviction combined at the same time, that he's going, "Okay, God, I hear you. I hear what you're saying." Priscilla Schreier, the daughter of Tony Evans, wrote a study on discerning the voice of God. My wife had been through this study. And in that study, she writes, she said, "Posturing ourselves to hear from the Lord means punctuating our prayer time with the anticipated art of silence, turning our attention inward to detect the stirring of God's spirit, looking intently at the word, loving what it says more than we love what everyone and everything else around us is saying." Great words. Again, God's voice will not bring shame, will not bring condemnation. God's word will again bring encouragement and conviction. But we need to be in a posture where we can receive and hear God's word. Lastly, this morning, hearing from God requires being in his presence. You know, the greatest part of this story is that God is in the room. Amen? God was standing right there with Samuel. The Lord came and stood there, the scripture tells us. The Lord stood there. God doesn't just speak to us from the other room, from a distance. If we feel like God is calling our name from somewhere else, it's likely not God who has moved. Maybe we feel right now like God is just so far away. Or you don't even remember the last time that you heard his voice. You know, I believe as a child, even as a younger minister, I heard the voice of the Lord more often sometimes than I think I do now. And I don't understand why sometimes God seems to be silent, especially in those times of prayer, discernment. However, I often question myself how well I'm listening and how attentive I am to the voice of God. Maybe I'm not hearing from God in the same ways because I used to, because I've grown and matured. I'm no longer a child. However, I hope for you and I today that we want to hear from the Lord all the more as each day passes by. As you and I know, life isn't always easy. And we need that connection from the Lord. We need to hear his voice in the middle of the storms of life. I recall a story that illustrates this. A Native American and his friend were walking through Times Square in Midtown New York, and it was during lunchtime. The streets were filled with people. Cars were honking their horns. Taxi cabs were squealing around corners. Sirens were wailing. And the sounds of the city were almost deafening. How many of you have been in New York City? Suddenly, the Native American said, "I hear a cricket." His friend said, "What? You must be crazy. You couldn't possibly hear a cricket in all this noise." "No, I'm sure of it," the Native American said. "I hear a cricket." "Well, that's crazy," his friend insisted. The Native American listened carefully for a moment, then walked across the street to a big cement planter filled with shrubs. He looked under the branches, and sure enough, he found a small cricket. His friend was utterly amazed. "That's incredible," his friend said. "You must have superhuman ears." "No," the Native American said, "my ears are no different than yours. It all depends on what you're listening for." "But that can't be," said the friend. "I could never hear a cricket in this noise." "Yes, that's true," came the reply. "It depends on what is really important to you. Here, let me show you." So he reached into his pocket. He pulled out a few coins, and he discreetly dropped them on the sidewalk. Ding, ding. Then the noise of the crowded street still blaring in their ears, they noticed that every head within 20 feet turned and looked to see if the money had fallen on the pavement was theirs. "See what I mean?" asked the Native American. "It all depends on what's important to you. How important is it for us to hear God's voice? Do we want to miss out on what the Lord has to say? May the Lord make us even more aware of his presence today than he ever has. God is in the room. What I'm reminded of today, above all else, that God is present. And in the person of Jesus, God took human form and the Word became flesh. Samuel interacts with the Lord in this conversation as if the Lord was standing right there with him. We can do the same. The Lord is present. I believe God is in this room, right here, right now. He has come to us and is standing right here with us. God is in this room. We're to be like Samuel when we hear God's voice. Our personal response should be, "Here I am. Lord, here I am. I am listening." God says in response to us, "I am here." He is saying to each of us here today, "I am here and I have something to say to you." In fact, he's not trying to have a conversation with you and I from another room or some other place. God is omnipresent. We don't have to say to him, "Can you repeat that? I didn't quite hear you." Maybe turn up our hearing aids. He is with us. The Lord is present with us through the Holy Spirit, just as he was with Samuel that day. He wants to have a conversation with us, with you and me, God is still speaking. In fact, he's never stopped. Do you hear the Lord calling your name? Are you ready to listen? Do you desire to hear from God today? You know, it's time to have a conversation with God as we close. Perhaps our conversation with God has been one-sided to this point. Maybe we're just going out to God and telling him everything we need and we want, and God, help me with this and help me with that. But we need to listen to what he has to say. Hearing from God is one part of this ongoing conversation. So let's invite the Lord right now to speak to us. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that you would give us a childlike faith to believe in you and what you want to accomplish. Lord, help us to be a better listener, or like that boy said, to be a better brother, so we can hear your still small voice as you speak to us. Lord, give us discernment so we know it is clearly you. Lord, we welcome you into this space. We know that you're here. Lord, it is important to us that we hear from you today. So Lord, as we close out this service, Lord, as we end in song, Lord, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, that we would hear your voice. And we say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.